Father, we know that you are sovereign, you are our King and our ruler, and we rejoice in that. But we also know from your word that you place governments in positions of power and authority. And you ask us, command us to pray for them. And so we want to do that now. Lord, I don't know all the names of those in government, but I just want to lift this government up to you. Thank you, Father, for this government. Thank you for those you have chosen to rule in this country, to govern, to make laws. We want to lift them up and ask, Lord, that you lead and guide them, that you influence their every choice for good, for your kingdom. And Father, those that are trying to pass laws that are clearly against the teaching of your word, against your kingdom, we pray, Lord, that you silence them. We pray, Father, for justice and for righteousness. We pray for good government. And we thank you for the opportunity to be born and live in a country that allows us to be involved in the government. I pray, Father, that we will be active in praying for our governments from whatever country we are from. And I pray, Father, that we will pray for governments around the world in this worldwide time of seemingly crisis and uprising. Above all, Lord, we pray for peace. Peace so that people can come to church, can have opportunities to hear about your Son, Jesus Christ, where they've not had opportunities to hear. Pray for peace, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I also changed the title of today's sermon. So, please ignore what's in the notice sheet. I'm not going to be preaching on interpreting and applying the Bible. If we have time later on in the service, I will get to a bit of that, because I think it's something important. But this morning, I want us to look at 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 17. Now, I like this passage very much. I like the Word of God. I like Scripture. And I like what it has to teach. But what I don't like is having to study hard to figure it out. And I am very, very thankful that I think God very much wants us to know Him, wants us to know His heart. And I think God communicates very, very clearly through His Word. Now, there are some challenging passages, but I think He wants us to know Him and wants us to know Him intimately and in depth. So I'm going to read another passage before I read 2 Timothy. And this is Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Please don't bother turning to it. Just maybe make a mental note, Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And I just want to read verse 12 again. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Why do I read that before I look at this passage in 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 17? Because I often feel like all I get, and particularly from my own personal devotions, is milk. Milk toast. I don't often take or make the effort to study the Word of God and get to the meat. How many of you like a good steak? I do. If you're a vegetarian, you don't. Maybe you like a good, what do you call it here? Aubergine? I like good aubergine as well. But there is something about digging into a good steak. There's something about digging into the Word of God and getting the meat that I find we often lack. Now, I know many of you, and I know many of you are gifted teachers, and that is great. I want to encourage you to dig into the Word. But for those of you who don't feel like maybe you don't have the spiritual gift of teaching, that's fine. You can still dig into the Word. You can still study it and get the meat. So, 2 Timothy 3:10 through 17. If you'd like to turn to that, please do. I am reading from the New American Standard Bible, but there's a few times where I may switch to the NIV. So please forgive me if that confuses you. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The NIV translates that, so that the servant of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So that's the title of my sermon this morning, Be Equipped. We all need to be equipped. Otherwise, our whole purpose of reaching out to the local community, of sharing Christ, of our lives to live out our Christian faith is hollow. We will not be able to unless we are equipped. Now let's look at the passage and see how we come to that. So the main point is being equipped. Again, I just love it when we can be succinct. But how does Paul instruct Timothy here to be equipped? If we look at verses 10 and 11, it almost reads as if Timothy is a Facebook stalker. He says, now you followed me, my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at these different places, and how I endured them, and the Lord delivered me all. So, Timothy was closely following Paul's life. Another way to translate the word to follow here is closely follow, or even to investigate. Now, I find that very interesting. Paul, in other places, holds himself up as an example to be followed. And I think that is a very bold or arrogant thing to do. Downright scary. But that's something that Paul did. And he says to Timothy, investigate my life. Look at it. Look at all these different things. And follow me. In verse 11, Paul has a little bit of a moan session, but there's a twist to it. Paul points out his persecutions and sufferings at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And I think, obviously, it's important. In verses 11 and 12, just two verses, he mentions persecution three times. So he's emphasizing the fact. And he's wanting to warn Timothy. So it's beware. Not just are we to be adequate, but we are to beware. For all who desire to live godly lives, the word lives is implied there, it's not written in the Greek, so it could read, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But the twist is that out of all those persecutions and suffering, Jesus Christ delivered him from them all. Now, when we get to the application, which will be later on the service if we have time. And we're going to look at that even more in depth. But then evil men and imposters appear on the scene. They arrive. So if we were doing a play or a drama, it's quite fitting for Halloween. You should hear dramatic music. Boom, 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 boom. Or evil laughter. Wah-ha-ha-ha. You guys aren't really into this yet. Come on. But this is something that Paul writes about in both 1 and 2 Timothy and in other books. Evil men and imposters will arise, being deceived and deceiving. And so we are to beware. And then, in contrast to these evil men and imposters, Paul exhorts Timothy to be constant. To be constant in his faith. He said, "You, however, unlike these evil men and imposters who are deceived and go about deceiving, you continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of." So he's exhorting Timothy to be constant and to be convinced. "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of." And this is an important part. "Knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." This word "continue" also implies remaining, abiding, or enduring. So we are to be constant. We are to remain or abide in what we have been taught. And on what basis are we to remain constant on these or convinced? But on the basis of the character and knowing the people who taught us. Interesting. So like Timothy investigating Paul, we are to investigate those who have taught us the Word of God. We are to look at their lives, their conduct, their faith, their perseverance. Have they been persecuted? How did they endure through the persecutions? Did they curse God? Or did they remain faithful? We are to investigate the lives of those who have taught us the Word of God. Now, that puts me in a pretty precarious situation. Okay? I don't preach, teach all that often, but I definitely have my family, and I definitely have the OM teams that I have served on. Am I living righteously? Am I living a life that is open to be investigated, to have someone Facebook stalk me? That's pretty scary. That's a lot of pressure. God just brought something to my mind. I remember I used to work at a summer camp in Michigan State. And it was a YFCA camp, a Young Family Christian Association camp. Thankfully, the director was Christian because the organization is not particularly Christian. But we had devotions every night for the campers that we had from a pretty rough part of Michigan. Some of them even came as far as from Detroit. And I remember an incident. I had gotten upset with another counselor. I had yelled at him in front of the kids. And I later apologized both to him and to the kids. And one of the other counselors on the break in between said to me, "Brian, they're watching you." Said, "Because you're a Christian, they're watching how you behave." And I broke into tears and ran out because I said, "I don't want to be watched." Are you living a life that can be investigated? And look at those who have taught you the Word of God. Look at their character. know them. And if they hold up to the scrutiny, you be constant. You continue and be convinced of what you have been taught. And not just Paul here, but also Tim's man and mum, his grandmother and mother, Lois and Eunice. Paul mentions them in 2 Timothy 1:5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am sure it is in you as well. So we are to be constant in our faith. But even more than that, we are to be convinced of our faith. Are you convinced of what you believe? Or are you distracted by new theologies? Do you flip and flop? Are you wishy-washy, tossed about by every wave? Or are your ears tickled by new teachings? Very easy. I find it interesting to watch and read about Christian fads and how new ideas come in. And anything that debunks the old is good. Sometimes, but not always. Test it. Investigate it. Test it against the scriptures. And that's what we're looking at here. Be convinced of your faith and knowledge by knowing the scripture. Verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. The writings don't give you salvation. They give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, a little bit of a side note here. Parents, read the Bible to your children. Every morning or every night or both, read the Bible to your children. Get the Word of God into those little hearts and little heads. Man, they need it. It's not a promise that they will become saved, but it gives them the wisdom that leads to salvation. God's Word is clear. Get it in their hearts and heads. Why? Not just for the result of salvation. But the Scriptures are good for teaching, reproof, correction, and I'm not going to read the other parts. We're not going to look at these in detail, but you could do a sermon on each of those. But for training in righteousness, the Scripture is useful or is profitable for training in righteousness. Now, that should make you think back to the verse about living godly lives. If you want your life to be able to stand up to investigation, to be scrutinized, you need to be into Scripture so that you can be trained in righteousness. But also, this starts the loop, the cycle all over again. So that living godly lives, we can be an example to others who can base their faith upon our lives and teaching. Amazing thing. And the result of all this, verse 17, with the result that the man of God or the servant of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work, righteousness, godly living, enduring suffering and persecutions. The Scriptures, the Word of God, results in us being equipped for every good work. Now, a lot of people who don't know the Lord do good works. In people's eyes. But as Paul says in Romans, all of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags before Him. The Scriptures are what prepares us to live godly lives in righteousness. So in a quick summary, we are to be followers. We're to be followers of not just Jesus Christ, not just Paul's examples, but be followers of those who have taught you the Word of God and investigate their lives to see if they are worthy to follow. Beware. If you desire to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. Be a follower beware, be constant and convinced. Continue in what you have learned and be convinced of it. Then you will be adequately equipped. Then you will be equipped. Let's just bow our heads and pray.